So highway, changes there include reinstating five staff positions. They are one light equipment operator and four senior laborers. Other than that, everything stays relatively similar to past years. There is a slight change in the sand and salt. We're looking to move more towards a salt, salt dominant mix, and maybe even straight salt when we treat roads in the winter. The benefit of that, salt typically works better, but it also, in this time of year, it's significantly less cleanup. Salt will dissolve, sand gets stuck in the gutters and the catch basins, adding to that maintenance. DEM and stormwater, they appreciate, moving towards more of a salt versus sand. So that's why there's a slight change in those items.
Thank you very much, Director. There's also a big difference over previous years on line item 63290 asphalt. Can you talk about the bonding project that is in full effect right now? And that's the reason, correct? That's the reason why it's a $200,000 line item, where in previous years it was $1.8 million.
Yeah, so prior to the bond, all road restoration would come out of this asphalt line item. So when you see $1.8 million, that's what we were paving with. In addition to highway uses this line item for filling potholes, small road patches, any kind of asphalt work that's associated with those things as well.
Correct. So we just want to make sure everybody knows that we are continuing to pave the roads and fill those potholes. We're just doing it with a new plan. So thank you, Director. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So, Eric, how many people are you still down?
We originally cut 16, so bringing back five. So obviously that means we're still down 11 positions. But the mayor's directive was to bring back all the people. So these five additional positions will bring back anyone that had been laid off and is still out there looking for work. Some of the people, when the positions were cut, decided to retire. Others moved into other jobs. So these five positions will allow us to bring back the five people that are still out there that had been laid off.
Okay. I know you mentioned four senior laborers and one, what was the other one?
Light equipment operator.
Okay. Light equipment. A lot of the questions I had, you answered already, but on the chemicals, rodent control, you went down on that. Is there any reason for that? Because we're hearing complaints about rats, so.
We go out to bid for those items for the rodent control, the bait boxes and the bait itself. The pricing that we get is relatively nominal. In the last couple of years that we've had that line item funded, we have not spent even 50% of it. So it seemed to be the way to go to reduce it to something that was more in line with what our expenditures would be.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you. You answered all the other questions already. Thank you, Mr.
President. Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Eric, I'm really pleased to hear that you're getting a lot of the staff back as quickly as you are. And certainly, I'm sure I'm not the only one that has noticed an increased amount of items being taken care of in my ward. I'm sure it's going on throughout the city. And that is really a game changer. And I'm really appreciative of that. Eric, the question I have is on 63377, snow removal in the 21 budget. you projected to cap out to 12,000. Is that accurate?
Well, we're at 11,780 now, so.
Yeah.
We do That's have it. one vendor that is still needs to submit their bills. I haven't gotten them as of yet. I want to say it's in the neighborhood of 5,000 maybe.
Wow. So we had a super mild year for snow plowing, right? We have some sanding we had to do as well and some salting.
Yeah, that was the kind of year where there was more of those activities than actually pushing snow. So there were, you know, when we're sand and salt, typically we don't need vendors. We do that in-house. So that's kind of what you're seeing with that.
Right, right. Okay, that's good. Okay, yeah, that's the only question I have on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job, Director, keeping the snow down. Yeah. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I suppose a brief question on the asphalt and the paving. I'm not sure. And I know that I've asked this question before. Do we have a timeline on when we'll receive the list of the various streets that will be paved in the fiscal year, or at least a priority list as to certain assumptions on how much funding may be available, which streets we anticipate will make the cut.
excuse me. Yeah, we currently are working on a lot of the national grid roads. That's a lot of what you see currently happening in your ward. That list we have, and that list is ready for distribution. With regard to the other paving, Hardig Road was on there. That was a high priority. We're looking at Sandy Lane. There are several others that was still kind of, they're still kind of in flux. We're coordinating with the other utilities. But right now we're concentrating on the national grid roads. Those are easy. We know that the utilities have been completed in those roads, obviously. We're gonna get reimbursed for those. So any road that we're doing right now, it's the National Grid Street, they're gonna reimburse us for paving curb to curb. So that means we're almost paving for free. You know, there's still some cost because you know, they only would reimburse us up to the length of their trench, but we'll take it up to the next intersection. So those are the kind of things we're working on now. We can certainly have a list finalized with regard to what our priorities are within the next couple weeks.
Well, that also might change because sewer and water are coordinating with the DPW. We have a comprehensive plan because we don't want to be paving roads that we may tear up to repair infrastructure.
Yeah, and as you saw out on one of your streets, that intersection at Ash, sometimes the milling operation can damage the water infrastructure, which is what you saw. The milling operation vibrated the pipes enough so there was a small leak in the lead joint. And so unfortunately, you had a brand new road that the water department had to cut into to fix their leak. So those are the types of things where, you know, you really want to make sure that the other infrastructure is new and can handle the paving operation. Otherwise, you're, you know, this is what you run into. So those are the types of things, like the mayor's saying, we're working on that coordination with the other utilities.
So the list is evolving all the time.
Correct. It's very dynamic, the list, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate, you know, the need for that communication and, you know, that being a reason why, of course, things get as complicated as they are, where, you know, it's the ball is moving. At the same time, you know, that having that increased communication as well would be helpful on my end, too. I've had constituents bring questions to me about whether a road is being paved or not, and I haven't been able to always answer those questions in the way that I'd like. And then there was one very small street in particular, and it's always wonderful to see paving happening, of course, but there was one small street where, you know, it's something that's been studied as to whether the street will be closed, but it was repaved, which it looks great, but that level of coordination is always helpful, so that if that money may have been spent elsewhere, then that's basically what I'm getting at there. And so I really do appreciate the communication. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
I just had a question about striping 63293. So with all the paving that we're doing, I'm imagining that all those roads will need striping. Does that come out of the bond as well, or does that come out of this line item?
The striping comes out of that particular line item, and actually they've already started this year. We were out last week or the week before they started some striping, but it's not always on roads that have just been paved. It's for the main roads, double yellows with the fog line, the on main roads that we need to do.
Yeah, I mean, typically we're restriping regardless of whether or not we pave, at least every couple of years, just because they get faded. So that's a lot of what you see in the budget.
Got it. So you're saying the added paving doesn't necessarily mean an increase in striping because you're already out there striping?
That's correct. Like, for example, Sandy Lane, we're going to pave Sandy Lane and then we're going to stripe it. But if we didn't stripe it this year, then we probably would be striping it next year because it starts to get faded anyway. So yeah, it's not like a one for one.
Okay. I was just expecting to see that one move up a little bit, but that makes sense. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilman Latter, sir.
That's okay, Mr. President. Thank you. I'm all set.
Any other questions from members of the council on the DPW highway budget? Seeing none, any questions from members of the public on the DPW highway budget? Any questions from members of the public on the DPW Highway Department? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to DPW Sanitation and Recycling. Director?
Sanitation. There's really no significant changes. Everything's... What's that?
The tipping fees
maybe? Tipping fees went up a little bit, right? I'm sorry.
Correct. The tipping fees, and we see this at the council meeting. I believe we worked on this a couple of council meetings ago on the tipping fees. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Eric, who's the foreman of sanitation now? I always knew Chris forever and ever and ever. And now I don't know who the new person is.
He's been gone for a while.
Chris Kirk.
I know, that's what I mean.
So Chris Beneducci retired. He was a supervisor.
Right.
We haven't filled that supervisor position. John Cole is the foreman over there. He's been functioning as the foreman. What? What?
We eliminated the supervisor.
Didn't I say that? Mom.
All right.
So we eliminated the supervisor position. John Cole is the foreman. He's been functioning in that capacity. You know, he was there under Chris. So his supervisor now is the highway chief. So again, it's a kind of a cost savings measure by eliminating Chris Beneducci's old position. And allowing, that foreman to function over there as he always has, and for him to answer to the highway chief, it just allows us a little bit more savings.
Oh, that's good. Okay. How about shortage in this department? I mean, I know you got a lot of divisions. And over here it says you have 22 people. Do you have other, are you up to par now, or are you still got shortage?
I think in that department, as far as positions in the budget, we're the same, but we have two vacant positions, I believe. We have two vacant positions and one person in sanitation working in a different position. So currently sanitation is daily down 3 people.
Okay, that's all I had, Mr. President. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions from members of the council on the DPW sanitation and recycling budget? Okay. Any questions from members of the public on the DPW sanitation and recycling budget? Any questions from members of the public on the DPW sanitation and recycling budget? Hearing none, we'll move on to DPW automotive. I believe it's on page 46.
So no real significant changes here. You know, the equipment repair item up a little bit, but really, you know, it kind of holds year to year with some nominal increases based on, you know, just kind of inflation and that type of thing cost. But for the most part, we're in the same place. As far as personnel, they didn't lose anybody and we haven't added anybody. So they're in the same position that they typically have been.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions from members of the council on the DPW automotive budget? Okay, seeing none. Are there any questions from members of the public on the DPW automated budget? Automotive budget, sorry. Any questions on the automotive budget for DPW? Okay, hearing none, we will move to the building maintenance budget.
So again, here, there are no significant changes. Right, but as far as positions go, we eliminated the facilities manager position.
Okay. Director, line 66340, service contracts. That line item looks to be increasing. What is in the service contracts for this department?
So that line item speaks to things like elevator maintenance, fire alarm inspections, sprinkler inspections, HVAC work, anything that's related to any city building that Public Works is responsible for in that capacity, as well as, you know, other things that we have to take care of during the year. And we are also acquiring a few more buildings at this point. So that speaks to the extra $10,000 that was included.
Thank you, Christy. And how many buildings would you say this department oversees?
A lot.
All of them?
Yeah, mostly, except for the school buildings. Well, not including the ones that we are now responsible for. That's the only thing that we don't maintain.
Yeah, so you have all the fire departments.
All the fire stations, police station, city hall.
All the
public
Cooper
works.
Building.
Yeah.
Cooper
yeah.
Building. And all the facilities that were former school department buildings, like Holden, Wicks, Aldrich. And even Aldrich. And even though there may not be things going on there, they still cost money, right? To go to Aldrich to board up the windows. You go to Wicks because there's a break-in and you got to board that place up.
Cut the grass once in a while.
Cut the grass, those types of things.
And
exactly.
Those buildings are still alarmed because it's still a city asset. So this bill as well.
Well, they have to be for the insurance.
Right.
All right. Any questions from members of the council on the building maintenance? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Eric, on 66224 for electricity, same question I had for the police department. What is the reason for the significant increase two parts to the question. One is, year to date, your electricity use is 96,000. That's roughly about 9,000 a month, something like that. And now your projection is 137,000. And your proposed budget is 195. So how does it go from 96,250 to 136,000 in about a month? And then why do you need 195 if in fact this year you only use 137?
Well, just, you know, not knowing the specifics, in 2020 we used 220,000, and I don't know. I mean, this time of year is when, you know, we're using a considerable amount of electricity.
Well, the other thing is too is there's that component with the Captona that I don't know anything about.
Which one?
Captona? Yeah, it's the solar credits or something. I think that has something to do with.
Yeah, there are also some components from the solar farm that go to this department. But the projection that I did, I would have done nearly a month ago now. So I would have taken whatever it was divided by the number of months and extrapolated out. So the year to date, quite honestly, could be off.
But doesn't those solar credits, doesn't that go to the general fund, not to each respective department?
So the way that we have to do the Captona credits, we're actually going to change it in the new year. It's a project we've been working on in my office, because you have to pick the accounts that have the most usage. So you can imagine how our buildings have really high usage. So there are some points in the year where the credits exceed the usage, and we're coming into the time of year where the opposite will start happening.
Right, because I pulled the report today for all the divisions, and our year to date actual is 103,717.
Yeah, so there must have been a credit put through.
Or what month that is posted through.
Probably. You said it was 103 as of today?
Yeah, so probably posted through April.
And I said 136. Yeah. And you also have to remember that when it comes to things like electricity, you can't necessarily take the number of months that have passed, divide it, and then multiply it, right? Because in July, August, we're going to be getting bills for June to put back. But I think the increase in electricity here is also a reflection of the additional buildings and everything as well, right?
Right. And was there a rate hike as well?
Yes, yeah, there was a small rate hike.
So what additional building was that?
Well, Cooper.
Yeah. So we have Cooper. Cooper.
So we're paying the electric bills for the Cooper building?
We pay the electric bills. I shouldn't say we don't. Public Works doesn't pay the electric bills for all the buildings. There's obviously other departments that have their own electricity line items, but for the buildings that we're responsible for, we pay the electric bills for City Hall, Buttonwoods, the whole Public Works complex.
Robertson.
Councilman, I think the best way to try and figure out whether or not something like natural gas or electricity is accurately budgeted for in the new year, you should probably look more at 20 actual. Those numbers aren't changing, and that's probably a better reflection of what will happen. And if you look at 20, electricity was 217,000.
Well, yeah, the revised budget was 195, and this year we're going to go back to.
You're looking at 21. If you look at the actual in 20, this is actually probably pretty aggressive in 22.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the actual use in 2020 was 217, almost say 218.
Yeah.
The revised for 2021 was 195, and we end up at 136-ish. Now, does that include the 136? Does that include the solar credits, or do the solar credits, are they in addition to the 136?
These projection numbers are just my best estimate of what it was. It was at least 3 weeks ago. It must have been 3 weeks ago I put these together.
Okay.
So this projection is probably too lean.
Yeah, I understand. But you just mentioned solar credits, which I wasn't aware of.
So yeah, and you'll see in fiscal year 2020, all of those credits and everything are accounted for in that final number. 20's audited financial statements are out. That number's not changing.
And we had solar credits in 2020 as well?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll see how it all plays out. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the DPW building maintenance budget? Any questions for members of the public on the building maintenance budget? Seeing none, we'll move to DPW engineering. And that is found on page 48.
So in the engineering budget, among the salaries, we've taken out the city engineer position. Street lighting has gone down, but we've added the street light maintenance. Increased the crack sealing item. Professional services, thank you. It's gone up as well. And then the $80,000 for stormwater.
Okay, thank you, Director. The street light maintenance fees, can you speak to that? How this, the reason for the change, this will be a new light item because of the changes that the city is making in that?
Right, so this year, the city purchased all of the street light infrastructure. National Grid's, when we were paying National Grid for the streetlights, about two-thirds of what we were paying them was a maintenance fee, one-third was electricity. So by purchasing the streetlights, we immediately immediately acquired a savings from that. In addition, we're converting to LEDs. That's being handled by planning. But when we took over the streetlights, when we took over the streetlights, National Grid obviously was no longer going to maintain them. So we have to have a maintenance entity in place to take care of any outages, damaged poles, and that type of thing, so that when a streetlight goes out, we have someone to call that can go out and immediately fix them. So that's why that line item is there and new. And $100,000 is a very conservative number. Especially as we go to LEDs, because most of the LEDs will probably be under warranty for at least a year, if not longer. So without having any prior years to go off of with that maintenance item, we put in $100,000 because we feel that that's a very conservative number, so that if anything happens, we'll have enough money to maintain the streetlights. And even with that $100,000, we're still showing a significant savings from previous years.
Thank you, Director. And I know this council is excited about this project and excited that once we get going with the LEDs, and now the city will be the ones that can do any maintenance, and we don't have to chase down National Grid to get them for the lights that are out in front of individuals' homes and neighborhoods. So this is a great program, and I'm pleased to see it moving forward. Any questions from members of the council on the engineering? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Eric, I'm looking at the surveying supervisor as well as the field construction inspector compared to last year. And I'm assuming the increase is the 2.75?
Yeah, for all three of those positions, you would have the 2.75.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Eric, what about the payment for crack sealing? That seemed like it went way up.
Well, that's so payment management is, that's kind of my wheelhouse personally. And crack sealing is the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to payment management. Crack sealing is pennies on the dollar, and it adds 3 to 5 years to a roadway. Municipalities our size with 400 miles of road, we should be, most of our money should go to crack sealing when it comes to pavement management, just because you think if we crack seal half the roads, that means we're getting, you know, three years on each road. If you pave half the roads, that's 600 miles of road. That means we're ahead of the deterioration. I may be talking kind of at a higher level, but it just makes more sense to crack seal more roads, because if you send a crack sealing crew down a road and there are no cracks to seal, you don't pay for it. If you send them down the road and they seal lots of cracks, well, then you just spent a lot of money putting a road back together that you're not gonna have to touch for 3 to 5 years. Whereas if you let that road go without crack sealing it, you're probably milling and overlaying it for 5 times the money in 2 years. So that's kind of the difference. And as a pavement management person, I would love to see that crack sealing number even higher, but I think that this is a step in the right direction.
Thank you, Director. Very good.
Any more questions on the engineering budget from the council? Any questions from members of the public on the DPW engineering budget? Any questions from members of the public on DPW engineering budget? Hearing none, we'll move on to DPW field maintenance.
All right, so field maintenance, a little bit of history, as most of you probably know, field maintenance was under the umbrella of Public Works until 2 years ago, when it went under Parks and Recreation. So this year we're pulling it back under Public Works. The argument being that this is kind of what we do. Public Works does this kind of stuff. We maintain things, we maintain facilities, we maintain fields. So as far as field maintenance, it makes sense for it to be under Public Works, because it's easier for us to share resources and that type of thing. So that being said, there's not a very easy way to compare the last 2 years to where we are now. But going back to 2019, for the most part, you know, with kind of, I'm just looking at.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Page 32 in the budget has a table that tries to merge the years so that you have a better comparative look at.
Right. Yeah, so I'm sorry, page 32 walks you through a little bit of that. So as it indicates, in the previous fiscal year, FY21, Parks and Recreation was responsible for programming of recreational activities as well as the maintenance of recreational facilities. In this year's budget, FY22, the city is putting the maintenance of the recreational facilities back under the Department of Public Works. This is a structure in the city until FY19. So this breaks down in very general terms what those numbers, those budget numbers look like.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the council on the field maintenance budget? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Director, I'm hoping I waited to the right spot. Otherwise, I can wait until Parks and Recreation are up. As far as the Mickey Stevens DEM grant that Speaker Sarkarchi was able to stabilize, the second largest grant in the history of the state. I was wondering, did we give them an updated scope of work for the project, or should I wait for another section, or did that fall under Bill?
Bill Vicente and planning, I think, are managing that. I only know very kind of peripheral stuff with regard to that project. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But Bruce Kaiser's stepping in.
Councilman Howe, could you repeat that question? I've got the list of grants.
Absolutely, thank you. One of the grants that was gotten was over $400,000 for the environmental remediation of Mickey Stevens. And yes. I guess one of the things that they were waiting for at DEM was the scope of work. And I was wondering, did the city get that to them?
I'm going to have to check on that for you. I'm not sure what status that is, Councilman Howe. I
know
that Luke and Dan have been working with the DM on that grant. So, I'll get back to you tomorrow on that. Okay,
yeah, Councilman, probably get better answers with planning tomorrow.
With planning. Okay, got it. I wasn't sure if it was this or Parks and Rec or planning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any more questions from members of the council on the field maintenance budget? Any questions from members of the public on the field maintenance budget? Any questions from members of the public on the field maintenance budget? Hearing none, we'll move to Parks and Recreation. And thank you very much, Director.
You got the Thayer and.
Okay, well, get out. All right, let's drive. Make sure she doesn't trip on the parks. Yeah.
Good evening, Director.
Good evening. As you can see by the budget, the Parks and Rec budget is reduced about 67%, and a large portion of that is due to the fact that the field maintenance and pool maintenance and rink maintenance have all been falling under now under Department of Public Works, and Parks and Recreation will be responsible for the programming at the specific parks and other events that will be going on, and we will no longer be responsible for the field maintenance, which is a blessing.
But no services are being cut, it's just being moved into a different department.
Services are being cut, and as a matter of fact, we're hoping to be able to increase some of the services that we haven't been able to do in the past due to the pandemic and whatnot. So we've got a lot of things on the horizon, been working with a lot of the local parks and getting them up to speed, and also working with the planning department to come up with a comprehensive plan for all of our local parks so that everybody's kind of on the same page and we can improve some of those facilities as well.
Excellent, thank you very much. Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, President. Director, the same question for you is with respect to the increase in the electricity budget. It seems that basically every department has requested a significant increase in the electricity. And in Thayer and Warburton Arenas, it's the same thing. Last couple of years, of course, you had nothing. But going back to 2019, the actual was $267,000, and you are looking for $330,000 this year. What basis did you use to increase it to $330,000?
The electricity is coming out of the Department of Public Works budget. That's not no longer in the Parks and Recreation budget.
So, well, actually, I'm ahead of myself. Thayer and Warburton Arenas is the last item. I'm sorry.
Right, but those really come under Public Works.
Okay.
The Parks and Recreation budget.
Okay.
As far as facilities, but any program.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. Right. Sorry. I'm also, I jumped ahead. Sorry.
Nope, no problem. Any other questions for members of the council on Parks and Recreation? Thank you. Seeing none. Any questions from members of the public on the Parks and Recreation budget? Any questions from members of the public on the Parks and Recreation budget? Hearing none, we'll move to the McDermott Pool.
That's really Public Works also.
Yes, I think you're done, Dev.
Huh? Yeah, I'm done.
Thank you, Director.
I'm done.
Get all those papers ready to go.
I'm sitting here for 5 hours for that.
I was prepared. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you,
Bill. So McDermott, again, this is one of those items where referring back to what Finance Director Schaefer indicated, page 32, that speaks to a little bit of how the breakdown worked over the last, or the transition worked this year. So we don't have an official breakdown of, you know, specific pool rink over the last 2 years. That being said, a lot of it carries forward pretty comparably over the last couple years. We are incorporating a new position that's going to be split halftime between the rink and halftime between the pool, and that's the recreational facilities supervisor position. What we anticipate this position to function as is one point of contact for all maintenance activities at those two facilities, one point of contact for working with vendors, one point of contact for any kind of procurement that would happen at those facilities. Also, as far as coordination with recreation when it comes to programming, this would be the one point of contact. Right now, they don't really have that. If there were to be a function at the rink right now, it would be recreation talking to any one of three or four different maintenance people whoever happened to be working at the time. And it just lends itself to a lot of inefficiencies and potential for things falling through the cracks. With one person over there who's accountable for all those things, we anticipate that all of those communications will go much more smoothly. And also, it's someone in addition to Public Works in general, it's a person that's going to be accountable for all the work we're doing over there. You know, the mayor over the last 4 months, has 5 months, has worked very hard to get the pool and the rink back up to where it should be. We want to make sure that we have someone over there who has the accountability to maintain that and keep it going and has ownership of those entities. And that's why we're looking at incorporating a position like that.
Thank you very much, Director. And I, you know, have to echo that, you know, this is a priority, and I thank you and the mayor for making this a priority. We hear about this every day. From our constituents on the council, and people are excited. And I like that we have a plan moving forward too. We're not just going to fix it and then, you know, let it go until something else happens. You have a plan that we're going to execute, so something like this does not happen again in the future. Councilman Gephardt.
Director, I had a couple of questions on the personnel side of the budget. When I look at Thayer with 6.5 employees, you've budgeted $25,000 for overtime. And then when I look at McDermott, which just has 1.5 positions, You've also budgeted 25,000 for overtime. And then if I look up at, let's say, like field maintenance, 9 positions, it's also budgeted 25,000 in overtime. So I just wanted to get your perspective. Are those just placeholders, or, you know, or we feel those are good estimates?
That is, I'm looking at, so Thea Warburton Arena in 2019, that had actually 37. The lighting in here is bad.
Yeah, it's hard to cross-reference there.
The actual was 37. I think it was budgeted at 36 back in 2019.
So back in 2019, overtime for the rinks was budgeted at 36, and then the one below it. And the pool was budgeted at 20. What was it actual? What was that?
Wait, we only, there's only 5,000 in the pool.
5,000 overtime in the pool.
For the proposed 22 budget is 5,000.
Okay, so the supplement.
So that's going to be incorrect. That must be a typo in the personnel supplement.
Yeah, so it looks
I see it. It's right in 42106, but it looks like it's overstated on page 41 of the personnel. I'm assuming that the general fund budget is the document of record on that,
rather than the personnel supplement. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay, that makes more sense to me now. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman. Good eye. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Eric, the same question as I had earlier, the reasoning for the 31% increase in the electricity component over 2019. Is that because basically the swimming pool hadn't been used during that time period?
Well, in 19, it was still being used, right?
I think that one's for the rink, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the rink. Right.
It was, yes.
Right, yeah, the electricity in the pool went up from 45 to 60.
Right.
But the ice rinks are obviously expensive to run. We have 4 compressor units, cooling towers, general lighting in the building, as well as my goodness.
So what does the ice rink have to do with the swimming pool?
They're separate budgets.
Right.
Are you referring to electricity at the ice rink?
I'm asking about the electricity right now in the swimming pool. It's 31% increase over the 2019 budget. And I'm just asking for what the rationale was to increase it by 31%.
So more of the solar panel farms have actually come online. So there's additional credits here that actually end up, we get the credits, we allocate the credits, but then we charge the department for the payments to the solar farm. That makes sense. So between 19 and today, there's another farm online, and I can't remember the name of it. But it was the latest one came online. Do you remember the name of it? No. I'm happy to provide you whatever you like with the Captona credits.
So my idea of a credit is a reduction in cost. So what we're doing is increasing the electrical budget, the electricity budget, by 31%. You're speaking about solar credits. Solar credits and credits, in my mind, reduce the budget.
So it depends on the time. It depends on the time of year and how much electricity is being used. Because if they generate too much electricity out of the farm, we have to pay this company, Captona, a percentage of the credit. Then we need to take the credit at the end of the year and allocate it across departments. We have not actually done this historically because it's just been too urgent to get the audit out. So in this particular department, you must be picking up the credit from that Captona work.
an extra one.
This is new coming back to us.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at last year, this year. Like, I probably would have added that up, put that up a little bit too, because you're going to be using the rink more, and there's going to be more credit here because there's that new farm online.
So this credit thing, this is something that's still under scrutiny, because again, in my idea of a credit is that 60,000, you give me a credit, it's reducing the 60,000. You give me an invoice, it's increasing it.
Yeah, but if you have a credit of $60,000 and you only spent $40,000 and you have to pay a percentage of that $60,000, you've now spent more money.
But you haven't spent 60. If you budgeted 60, you spent
You may have spent 50. But you only had a $40,000 bill. You had to pay 50 out to the company.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So this solar credit thing, this is all speculative right now, because we don't know what that number is. It could be up, it could be down. We could have to pay, we may not have to pay.
It could be sunny, it could be stormy. I have no idea.
No, I understand that. So the answer is you're increasing the electrical budget, the electricity budget, as most departments are, in this case, 31%, because we don't know what the solar credits are going to be. That's why we're increasing the electricity.
The quantity's also gone up as a rate increase.
Hasn't gone up 31%. I get the electric bills every month.
No, but our credits are that we're paying out are quite steep, and some departments aren't taking the credit, but you'll see that. This is a conversation to have offline, quite honestly. It's a very complicated process that I actually aim to fix in 22.
Okay.
And make simplify it.
All right, because I agree, it is very confusing.
It's overly complicated. Mm-hmm. And Christy calls me mad because I'm charging her.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other council people have questions on the pool? Any members of the public would like to speak about the pool budget, Dermot pool budget? Any questions from members of the public on the pool? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to Fair Arena.
So the rink, similar, again, we're creating that position. That'll move back and forth between the rink and the pool. That, you know, going back to page 32, which speaks to, you know, how the money is going to be moved with the transition. Other than that, the items at the pool, the rink. Right, we put two positions back in. Thank you, Christy. That brings back two people that had been laid off. So they'll go back to their total of six building maintenance people. And I think everything else we kind of carried through pretty evenly.
Okay, thank you, Director. And a big part of Fair Arena is it brings in revenue into the city, correct?
Correct. I mean, yes. The numbers like $600,000 a year, roughly.
Correct. So that's another reason why we want to make investments in this area and bring on additional personnel to take care of this city asset. Any questions for members of the council on Fair Arena? Any questions for members of the council? Any questions for members of the public on Fair Arena? Any questions for members of the public on Fair Arena? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to ask Mr. Conley to walk me through. Do we just do a motion to continue until tomorrow evening at 4 p.m.?
So, Mr. President, you have posted for tomorrow. So at this time, you just need a motion to recess and then reconvene tomorrow evening.
Okay, I will entertain that motion. Councilwoman Travis makes that motion. It's second by Councilman Gephardt, very excitedly, and Councilman Howe. All right, so all those in favor of continuing this meeting until 4 p.m. Tomorrow evening, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you very much. Great work, Mayor's Office, each department, thank you very much. And we will see you all tomorrow at 4 p.m. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Adios.